Pastor Donald. You know, there are so many wonderful moments in life. Somebody say amen. There really are. I woke up this morning and we're privileged. For a long time, Carrie and I, we had a queen-size bed, and because it was just me and Carrie for 12 years. And we fit in a queen-size bed. But now we have a king-size bed because occasionally we get two little critters. And I don't mean my mother's dogs. If they ever crawled into bed with me, Brother Phelps, pull the slide. Amen. No, but they crawled into bed early this morning and I woke up and I rubbed the sleep out of my eyes and I looked and there was my wife on one side and there was Eric and there was Luke and they were sleeping so peacefully. I took a picture of the boys because my wife would shoot me if I took a picture of her sleeping in the morning. But I saw those little boys and I thought of people like the Salmons, the Epperleys, the Phelps, the Bittingers that are graduating their young people. And I know that you have told me, Pastor, enjoy the moments when they're little because it goes just like that. And it already has. My children are 2 and Eric's going to be 4 next month. And how quick. But I've learned the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 10, it says, he that will love life and see good days. It's a little piece of the verse, but I've learned that you need to take time and enjoy life. And particularly, if we could say this, some of the sugar-sweet moments of life. The graduations. That's a big deal. I mean, I know some of us graduated back when school was new. Amen? But it's a big deal to train up a child and to see him after 17 or her, or him or her after 17 or 18 years and to say, I did it. I did it. Did it with mom and dad's help and I did it with family and friends and all that. It's a big, you know, by the way, I hate to break the news to you, those of you that are graduating young people this year, it won't be long and there'll be another sugar sweet moment, hopefully. And that's a wedding. Amen? I know you teenagers right now, I'm never getting married. You trust me, things will change in a few years. Amen? And that's a sugar sweet moment. And there are so many of those in life. Just take time and enjoy life. Amen? Because invariably, there are not only a lot of wonderful moments, but there's some moments in our life that leave us asking that age-old question. Why? Why did this happen? Why, God? Or like Job in this text, where's God? Some of you have had moments like that recently. Where was God? And by the way, lest we be a little too spiritual this morning, don't you be angry that somebody that asks, where's God? Amen. You say, well, I would never ask that. Well, it's good to have you down from heaven today. Amen. Some of us have flesh on our bones. I've known people, and even in my own spirit, I may not have uttered it with my mouth. I said, well, God, what were you doing? Where were you when this happened or that happened? Such is our protagonist today. The character in the Bible known as Job. If you go back, and you don't have to go there, but if you look at chapter number 1 and verses 1 through 5, you'll find Job's character. And Job was a man of tremendous character. Says he feared God and eschewed evil. And it used that Old Testament word perfect, meaning mature. Job had good character. But then we find not only after God tells us of Job's character, he tells us of Job's calamities. You remember how back in chapter, why don't we go there? Go to chapter 1 and look at it with me. You remember what happened? There was a conference in heaven. And Satan came before God, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "Oh, I sure have. I've had my eye on him for a while. You just won't let me near him. You've got this hedge of protection, and by the way, hey, Christian, thank God for the hedge God has around us. Because Satan has the same plans for you that he has for Job and that he has for every other child of God. God has a..." He said, "You just let down that hedge for just a second and you find out who Job really is." And God says, "Okay, I'll take down the hedge, but you can't touch his life." And that means his wife, because two shall be one. And so what happens in chapter 1? Well, look at verse number 14 of chapter 1. It says, "There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them, and they took them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee." Livestock. While he was yet speaking. So here's this man giving this terrible news. And then another person comes. "There came also another," verse 16, "and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Bad news number two. More livestock. The sheep. First it was the oxen and the ass, and now it's the sheep. While he was yet speaking, here comes the third bearer of bad news. "There came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, and yet have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. I only have escaped to tell thee." And more livestock, more servants dead. While he was yet speaking, verse 18, "There came also another and said," put yourself in Job's place here, folks. Just do that for just a second. "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee." You jump down to chapter 2, verse number 6. Says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." He lost all his livestock. He lost all his ability to make a living. He lost his children. And now he loses his health. Job's calamities. Job's character. Then in the latter part of chapter 2, and I'm going to put this in quotation so we'll all understand it, we are introduced to Job's comforters. You ever heard the term where, with friends like you, who needs enemies? I think this is where it comes from. In the next few chapters of Job, Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar come, and at first they are comforting. They just sit down with Job and just sit with him. By the way, that's the best comfort you can do, be to somebody that's grieving. Just be there. You don't need to be offering advice. Amen. Just be there for him and love him and hug him and just be there. But no, they proceed on these different discourses. See, Job, you have Job's character and his calamities and his comforters. Then you have his complaint in chapter number 3. But then from chapter 4 to chapter 22, you have Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar giving dissertations to Job about why all this is happening to him. And folks, I really believe that the passage in Matthew that is so often misquoted by people who want to commit every damnable heresy is, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Well, you can't judge me. You can't judge me. The Bible also says, "Judge righteous judgment." Amen. I'll tell you what, When it comes to something like this, why that's happening to somebody, don't you dare judge. Because you don't know what God's doing. He may be chastening them. He may not be. So they proceed to talk about all these different things and why this is happening to Job. And in chapter 23 of our text, if you go back there, chapter 23, Job is replying to Eliphaz's third, quote-unquote, comforting dissertation. And he says in verse number 3, our text verse, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." You see, Job's darkness and despair had led him to conclude that God had forsaken him. Ladies and gentlemen, then and now, such is not the case. You see, folks, we walk by faith and not by sight. See, he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Perception is not always reality. Well, I just perceive a situation this way. It's not always reality. Perception is based on feeling. Job here was in darkness. And perhaps you're here today and you say, "You know what? I need God. My life is spiraling out of control. I'm so discouraged. I need God's help. Where can I find God?" I've got good news for you. God can be found. I want to give you 7 things this morning. 7 places, if you will, where you can find God. First place, you ask the question, where can I find God? The first way you can find Him is by turning a page in His Word. By turning a page. Where can I find God? The Bible says in John 17:8, Jesus praying to the Father, He says, "For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me." Hey, listen, you've got that old-fashioned King James Bible. You know what this is? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's the Word of God. You say, man wrote the Bible. The Bible says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We have the very Word of God. And it is through His Word that God reveals Himself to us. You know, it's through His Word, Brother Easterling, that I find out that the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. Psalm chapter 100, verse 5. So when I, in my life, think that the Lord is not being good, I can turn a page and tell you He is good. Amen? He's good. It's through His Word that I learn that He's merciful. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's through the Lord's Word that I learn, Brother Kelly, that He's compassionate. For His compassions fail not. It's through His Word that I learn that God is faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lamentations chapter 3 tells us. So when you're at the point and you say, where can I find God? Can I tell you, you can find Him by turning a page. Reading His Word. You know, there are times that even when you're going through difficulties and trials and fires and you don't know why you're going through them. And folks, sometimes we read the Word of God and it just doesn't do a lot for us. If you've been there, say amen. Amen. I've been there. You just read it and you... But you know, if I asked you what you ate for dinner 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, you probably wouldn't be able to tell me, unless it was an outstanding place. But you know this, it nourished you. Do you know the Word of God is our spiritual food? You say, I just don't feel like reading it. Read it anyway. I'm just not getting anything out of it. Read it anyway. You don't know what God is doing through His eternal Word right here in your life. Read it. Read it. Read it. Where can I find God? By turning a page. Number two. Where can I find God? By bending a knee in prayer. Not only by turning a page in the Word of God, but by bending a knee in prayer. Jesus' disciples said, teach us to pray. And He came to them, and that prayer in Matthew chapter 6 that we know so well. When I was at Midwestern Baptist College, I don't know if the fellows still have to. We repeated the creed every day, the college creed. I think I could probably still do it. I believe in the inspiration of the Bible, in the deity of Jesus Christ, God's Son, in whom we have salvation from sin by faith through grace. I believe that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer and gives guidance and power as we surrender to the Lordship of Christ. I believe that God has given to the church the responsibility to evangelize the world through the preaching of the gospel and personal soul winning. I will seek to live today so as to be ready to meet Him at His coming. Did I get it right, Eric? I got it right. Amen. You say that 1,000 times over 4 years, it sticks in. But we used to always also pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, and boy, we had some folks, Brother Merrill, that thought we had gone Catholic. Oh, it's just so. And somebody asked Dr. Malone one time, sweet elderly man of God, 85 years old, why do we have to pray the Lord's Prayer every day? And Dr. Malone leaned over with such sage wisdom, he said, because it's the first time some students prayed during the day. And he's right. He was right. What did He say when Jesus said, Our Father, which art in heaven, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. You know, it starts off with those two little words, Our Father. So listen, folks, when you bend a knee in prayer, and I don't mean physically, some people get on their knees. I know some people that get right on their faces. Some people sit in a chair. Some people sit on a couch. Pray. What is it saying right there? Where can I find God? Our Father. You know what that talks to me right about? Relationship. He's your Father. He's your Father, and especially your Father in the deepest, darkest valleys of life. He's your Father. Bending a knee in prayer. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3 says, I know the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Psalms chapter 55, verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Where can I find God, Pastor? You can find Him in prayer. And you know what? You're right with God. You got your sins confessed. Trying to walk in fellowship with God and known obedience to His Word. You call upon Him in prayer. I believe that God hushes the angels in their praise. It says, I've got a child of mine that's praying. Shh. And you call out to God. You can find God by turning a page in His Word. Amen. You can find God by bending a knee in prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. On thee my petitions bear. Number three. Pastor, where can I find God? I need Him. You can find him by turning a page. You can find him by bending a knee. You can find him by viewing his creation. You can find him by viewing his creation. The story is told of Sir Isaac Newton. And he had made a replica model of the solar system. He had taken the sun and he had all the planets and he had stars. And it took him, of course, think about that. Now you could probably buy that at Walmart or something. But back then, to put all that together was just an incredible thing, Brother Kraft. And he looked at it, and a friend of his came in who was an atheist. And a friend said to him, "My, Newton, that is amazing. Who made that?" And Sir Isaac Newton said, "Nobody." He said, "Are you kidding me? What do you mean? Nobody made that. Nobody," he said. "It just appeared." The man said, "Why, that's silly." He said, "Exactly right. And yet you say that all that is around us just appeared. Foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." But Psalms chapter 19, verse 1 and 2 say, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Night unto day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." You can't look but at a blade of grass with a spiritual eye and not find God. I think of the seasons, how incredible they are. Summer, I think of the springtime and how everything revives, including allergies that have been dormant for the winter. And then the beauty of summertime and how you come to the end of summer and everything is ripe and ready to be harvested. Just before it gets ready to die down. And then in fall, everything in God's beauty begins to die away. And it slumbers for winter and comes back. Boy, I'll tell you, God can be found in the minutest detail of nature. The human body is not a product of a single cell organism that washed up on shore. Nobody knows where and nobody knows how. It's the product of Almighty God taking something as simple as dirt and using His power in making something incredible. Your eye right now, how many times it's focusing would boggle your mind. Your mind right now, as it's processing all the information as we preach, incredible. By the way, when all that happens, your circulatory system keeps working. And your vital organs are working all by God. I tell you what, I've mentioned it so many times. I can't view a sunrise or a sunset and not see God. Where can I find God? I can find Him by turning a page. I can find Him by bending a knee. I can find Him by viewing His creation. Number four, I can find Him by singing a song. "But Thou art holy, O Lord, Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Psalm chapter 22, verse 3. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instrument. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Psalm chapter 150, verses 1 through 6. Hey, you know where you can find God? By singing a song. I think of these blessed songs that are in our hymnals that we sing every week. Here's one. "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Where can I find God? By singing a song. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water in the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Oh, this is, I could do this all day. Amen. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Where can I find God, Pastor? By singing a song about Him. By singing a song about Him. It'll awaken emotions in you that only music can. He left His Father's throne, so free, so infinite His grace, emptied Himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? You know, folks, it doesn't really matter if you can sing well or you cannot sing well. You should sing. Because you'll find God in His songs. Singing a song. The Bible still says we're to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. I like to kid with Uncle Joe. I say, Uncle Joe, we're glad you don't join the choir. Because I heard him sing and he can't carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it. He just can't do it. Amen. But Unc, you know this. I'm kidding with you. I like it that you sing. Somebody behind you is not singing so good. Don't go like this. Get next to him and help him out a little bit. I remember one time my friend John Hamlin was preaching and he was talking about how his favorite song is Jesus Paid It All. And he said, and I don't sing and I'm not a singer. And as loudly as I could, I said, amen. And he said, that's a bad spot for an amen, but you're right. Amen. Hey, listen, sing a song. You'll find God in His songs, in His psalms, in His spiritual songs. You'll find Him by turning a page. You'll find Him by bending a knee. You'll find Him by viewing His creation. You'll find Him by singing a song. You know what else you'll find Him? You'll find Him, number five, by shaking a hand and fellowshipping with God's people. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Shaking a hand. You know, you get to see God working in His people. I appreciate what Pastor Donald said about Matt White, the White boys. It's such a funny thing at their church. They have a family named the Browns, and they're white. And they have a family named the Whites, and they're brown. It's just, have a good time with that. Amen. The White family, Matt White, and his brother Glenn. Pastor Donald told a story about Matt, but Glenn is just as good of a story. Now, you know what? When Pastor Donald left Mountain View Baptist Church, it left a tremendous hole there. And God, Matt is 17 years old, and he is now the children's church pastor. Going to Bible college next fall, Lord willing. You see, when you get around God's people and you shake hands with them and you rub elbows, you get to see what God is doing in people's lives. And listen, I'm glad to talk about the ball game. And I'm glad to talk about the weather. And I'm glad to talk about this. And I'm glad to talk about that. But I like getting around God's people who talk about God. You see, you see God in just shaking somebody's hand and having fellowship with God's people. One of the reasons we shake hands here is not because we like to spread germs. That's why we have hand sanitizer, because we know we do spread germs. It's because it's important to be friendly and loving and have fellowship one with another. Fellowship. By shaking a hand, by singing a song, by viewing His creation, by bending a knee, by turning a page. Number six, by listening to a sermon, you'll find God. If you have the right kind of preacher who preaches God's Word. I've heard some sermons that I thought had nothing to do with the Word of God. But if you've got a preacher that, as the Bible says, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. God wants to do a work in you. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, talking about, I'm trying to think of the verse, it escaped me, amen. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you some of the greatest work that God did in my life was when I sat right where you're sitting right now. I don't mean in this building, but I mean in a pew under a preacher who was preaching the Word of God. God wants to do a work in your life through the preaching of His Word, through the man of God, empowered by the Spirit of God. God wants to shave off some of those edges of us. He does a good work through preaching. How many times have I gone to a preacher and said, that was a tremendous message. That helped me. Yesterday, I got to hear Brother Ouellette three times, and I know for some of you, you say, well, I don't know, that's fine. We get three messages a week, but I don't. I preach three messages a week. I don't always get to hear. I try to listen to preaching in my office as we're doing the office work and things, but it was good for me to get preached to yesterday about being a better husband. Hey, listen, you'll find God by listening to a sermon. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, as long as I'm pastor here, He'll be mentioned in this pulpit. And it'll still be about the blood of Christ and the book of God and the blessed hope of His coming. It'll be about God. Listen, I thank God for practical messages, for how-to messages, and I appreciate that, but you know what? It needs to be about Jesus Christ by listening to a sermon, by shaking a hand, by singing a song, by viewing His creation, by bending a knee, by turning a page, lastly this morning, by sharing a story. And that's witnessing to others. Our Bible college professors, we had so many wonderful ones. One of them in particular used to say, when you're discouraged, go soul winning. He would tell us that. When you get down in the dumps, go soul winning. Because you know what? A lot of times, I'll just speak for myself. A lot of times when I'm down in the dumps, you know what it is? It's a spiritual pity party. And I'm just a little baby. And I need to realize there are souls all over this city that are dying and going to hell. By sharing a story, you'll find God. You know, there was a time when Jesus came and He was gathering His disciples. And one of His disciples that He gathered was a man named Andrew. And you know what Andrew did? Andrew went and found his brother, Simon, and brought him to Jesus. Why? So he could hear the story. There's a story in John chapter 4 about a woman who came to a well. And Brother Howland, she came during the heat of the day when the dignified ladies of the city didn't come out. Only the ladies of ill repute. And she came and Jesus sat by that well and He was wearied from His journey. He had flesh just like we do. He got tired and He said to her, give me to drink. And she had no idea who He was. And they proceeded with a conversation. And He said, I can give you living waters where you'll never thirst again. And you know what she did? She went right out into the city, told as many people as she could, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She shared a story. Another man in the Bible. We know him as the maniac of Gadara. There were really two maniacs in the book of Matthew. Mark focuses on just one. And he comes to Jesus, and the Bible says that they tried to bind him and tame him, and there's so much into that that you could preach on, but none of it ever worked until he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, the Bible says they were astonished that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And he said to Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, you can't go with me. But you know what you can do? You can go home and you can tell thy friends what wondrous things God hath done for thee. You know, folks, that's one of the best ways to find God. You got a coworker that's going through a hard time? Tell them your testimony. Tell them there's a God who loves them. Just share. Listen, I'm all for doing the Romans road and leading somebody to Christ right then and there. But I appreciate those of you that, I remember what it was to work a regular job, and I know Brother Mark mentioned it on Wednesday night. He's been working on one of his coworkers. You just keep chipping away. You just keep witnessing. One drop of water can't do much, but you take a bunch of them and they'll flood an entire earth. Amen? Just that one witness, you may say, oh, I feel like such a failure. Listen, you want to find God, share a story. What an amazing thing it is that God uses us to lead other people to a saving knowledge of Jesus. I found out something yesterday I had no idea about. Brother Ouellette came, and I've known his dad. His dad was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, where Carrie and I lived for 4 years. And I've known him. He preached out at Mountain View years ago, but I didn't realize this. He was the one who was preaching down in Pekin, Illinois, Ken Ouellette, the day that my pastor's dad surrendered to go to Bible college. And this incredible family tree, all from one preacher. And Brother Ouellette's story is tremendous. He was going to go to Columbia University. He wanted to be in the 30s, wanted to be a disc jockey so all the pretty girls would send him flowers. And as he got ready to board the train, he met two young men. And he told them what he was going to do. And they said, why don't you come to our college? We have our own radio station. And he said, what's the name of your college? They said, Bob Jones College in Cleveland, Tennessee. Back when it was in Cleveland, Miss Phyllis, amen. Cleveland, Tennessee. And that family tree goes all the way back to those two men, which goes all the way. Listen, God uses us, folks. God uses us to help people find God. You're going through a tough spot. And by the way, we're supposed to weep with those that weep and mourn with those that mourn. They're going through heartache. Where can I find God, Pastor? By turning a page of His Word. By bending a knee in prayer. By viewing His creation. By singing a song of praise. By shaking a hand in fellowship. By listening to a sermon. By sharing a story. Where can I find God? Father,